like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Sing it with me tonight. There is none like you. Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. One last time, help me sing it. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you. Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Amen. That's certainly the truth tonight. We have quite a few prayer requests tonight. We'll just go through these and I'll ask Brother Terry if he doesn't mind to come pray over these. Remember Sister Rachel Estep, she's in the hospital in Greenville, has fever, infection, hardly able to talk, so let's remember her. Also, Sister Connie Bedello wants us to remember a friend from work, has a kidney stone, needing that to pass. Lady's name is Sherry, so let's remember her. Brother Charles Hamilton has a very urgent unspoken prayer request. Sister Sherry Tipton turns in request for her sister's granddaughter, Michaela Hensley. She's very sick with the flu, been running a fever, 104, 105 all day. So let's remember that child. Brother Baker would like for us to remember his wife, Sister Christine. She's doing well. Surgery went well. She's having a lot of pain. They're just praying for a speedy recovery for her. Sister Ruth Ann Carter turns in her prayer request for a Sister Mercy. It's a lady that's moved here from Africa. She's living in Delaware. Attends Brother Ron Walbert's church. She'll soon be a citizen, but the authorities are accusing her of getting married just to get into the States and trying to send her back. So they're saying that's not true and just asking the Lord to intervene for that family. Brother Ed Yance, homesick tonight, desperate need of prayer, so let's remember him. There's a prayer request for a child from Louisiana, 18-month-old. Just had eye surgery, and his father mistook the eye ointment for some super glue, put super glue on the child's eyes. So they're back to the doctors with him and just really asking everybody to pray that they can get some relief for that child. Sister Deanna Dixon, not feeling well tonight. Also, Sister Estep, sick tonight. Brother Keith Phillips turns in requests. He's having a bone marrow biopsy Friday morning. Ask the saints to pray all will go well. He's quoting Psalms 103, I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases. So we believe that with you, Keith. Brother Orville Reese wants to thank the Lord for being with him during the removal of a jaw tooth yesterday. Everything went well with no pain. Please pray for Sister Jackie Williams' mother, Betty Cockrell. Leg's very swollen. It's got a sore on it. Just remember that. Then just a couple of testimonies. If we stand tonight as Brother Terry comes, Brother Kirk Sacker wants to thank everyone for their prayers for me while sick recently. This is a very powerful church. God bless you all. So thank the Lord for touching Brother Kirk. Also, Brother Bruce Hackett of Manitoba has regained the full use of his leg after brain tumors had greatly lessened his ability to move it. He's been praising God along with his wife, Sister Tina. Last week also brought other noticeable changes for the better after everyone's prayers. Satan sure hates his testifying as he's gone everywhere thanking God for his healing. Amen. Continue to pray for them both. So thank the Lord for that touch tonight.
It's such a privilege to be in church. Such a privilege. Heavenly Father, dear God, I don't have words sufficient to thank you. But first, I just want to invite your presence. And we come into this house, Lord, we're gathered in your name, and we want to try to divorce all thoughts of what we did today, perhaps what we may do tomorrow. This could be the last service that we'll ever attend. So we want to give it 100%, as it were. Lord, I was just thinking a moment ago how I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we've had the Bible for many years since it was actually been put in print back in the days of Martin Luther and so forth. But Father, that's all the churches have the Bible. But the revelation that you have given to us and sent us a messenger that we might understand the Word of God, we're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. We begin to recognize more who you are and in turn recognizing who we are. Thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the predestinated plan, the book of Ephesians, the wonderful things you've given us to us. I pray, dear God, as a minister, Lord, Brother Darrell's going to speak tonight, I believe, as you just, the things you've laid upon his heart to feed us and to challenge us and whatever it might be that we really need tonight, may we pull on the gift of God. And I pray now for these requests, Lord, Brother Ed, you know his need, and I pray that you continue to be with him. He's sick. Lord and Brother Keith, the test that he's going to have, Lord Jesus, they might be scheduled a test, but we're believing there's nothing going to show up on the test, anything of a negative nature, because by your stripe, he's healed. So we claim it. We believe it to be true. It's only one thing that can we appropriate that faith, and I believe that we have that faith. And Lord Jesus, we believe that the time of our departure is soon at hand. We see the old, much could be said, the weather, extreme weather, all the things that happen in the extreme, but just, Lord, so many things, but it's just a pre-tribulation condition. We are just so close to crossing over. Help us to make ourselves as a bride. The Bible says a bride, his wife, has made herself ready. But Lord, it can only be by you pulling on that heart and giving us, Lord, the desire to be ready. Lord, bless every request, everyone I hold in my hand. And Lord, I just pray for those. I'm sure that everyone has an unsaved loved one, somebody outside the ark of safety. Lord, that we can really enter into their suffering, that we might feel for them the need to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, because it's almost finished. Grant these things, Lord. Bless the service. Anoint the speaker, as we said. Anoint our ears to hear. And may we truly say it's been good to be in the house of God. Thank you that we got to come to church tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated tonight. Thank you, Brother Terry. Let's sing this together.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. I need you, I know I do, and the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Let's sing this verse together. I'm sure there's a lot of people that cannot relate to what we're singing about there. They're missing that little thing that makes you miserable when you know you're not right with God. I'm so thankful. You can't put a price on that. I'm so thankful that we have that tonight. Just a desire and a from the heart to serve Him. Let's sing. If Brother Zach, I think Brother Zach and Brother John Linichek have a song for us. If y'all come, be getting ready to sing. And then Justin, Brother Justin Reagan, I think, has a song for us when they get finished. If you want to come on, be getting ready to sing. Let's sing that Wasn't That Love, F.
Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit me. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he lay there in that tomb, he did just what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Oh, but he rose up from.
Came to live a perfect life.
He came to be
a living word, our light.
He came to die
so we'd be reconciled.
He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing, and that's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship his King, 'cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything.
He came to live. Be
our conquering King and friend.
He came to heal
and show the lost ones his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. And that's why we offer him our everything. And that's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. And that's why we praise him. That's why we sing, and that's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything.
as he gave his everything.
Had it not been. I will love you, Jason Crabb. Look it up for me. Use the Google. Tell me what it says. Pretty bad you forget the first line of the word of the song that you practiced for a whole 20 minutes. It happens to all of us. I just told Jordan this has never happened to me, ever. Told him that today. I'm embarrassed. Yes.
I feel like I had a part in that, so I'm real proud. And Brother John Linichek, he didn't say anything about it, but tonight's his last service before moving to South Carolina. Is that right? So we're going to miss John. I think Phil's got to hire 3 people to replace him. That's what I'm hearing. So, but we'll miss John. We appreciate what he's meant to our church here. D, I love that man in the middle. Brother Darrell comes, just to go along with that song Justin was singing. Let's just love on him some more. Let's sing I Love That Man in the Middle. Let's sing that together.
Oh, I love that man in the middle. Because I know he first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Middle man made it possible that I
sing that chorus again.
Certainly grateful for Calvary this evening. Amen. You know, I remember when I was in the military, Brother Terry, perhaps you remember this. We would get a short timer's calendar, they would call it. And when we got close to getting out of the Army, we would make a calendar and we would mark every day, holidays. And we called it the short timer's calendar. And I started mine at 150 days out. Just a little bit anxious, I guess, but... And I remember one old fella, back in the worldly, in the days, there's no song called Freebird. And he was getting ready to get out of the Army, and he got this little fake bird and had it on his shoulder, you know, as his Freebird. And just, because it's just something about being free. The obligation is settled. And, you know, I'm so glad tonight that we're not under a chain of any denomination or organization or some man's ideal, but we have been made free by the Word of God.
Amen.
Free to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The liberty to be able to raise our hands and praise a God who forgive us of every sin. Oh, hallelujah! For every sin, every mistake that we ever made, He wiped our slate clean and said, "You've never done it in the first place." Oh my. Amen. That's wonderful. It's just so wonderful. And you know, it don't take 150 days. You don't have to mark no calendar. Well, in 30 days, you know how long it takes? You know how long it takes Him to forgive you? As long as it takes you to ask. Oh, God. Well, praise the Lord. Ain't that wonderful? You know, we beat ourselves half to death over condemnation and things and just all the time, "Well, Lord, I'm sorry. And we'll say it and we'll say it. And the first time you ask Him, He don't even remember you ever done it.
Right.
Praise God. What a wonderful Savior that we serve tonight. I'm certainly glad we're free. Amen. It wasn't a bird that made me free, but it was a man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of Psalms. We want to read from Psalms 119, verse 83. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's kind of such an honor to be able to come and be with you. And it's always good to be home. And I've been traveling a little bit this year and been a few places. Just come back from out in Arizona. Had some wonderful time out there and was up in Indiana over the weekend, and was down in Kentucky last Wednesday night, down in Russellsville, Kentucky there. Brother Billy Laster goes to church there, and Brother Billy really needs our prayers. He's got pancreatic cancer, and I went and saw him. He's just really, really feeble, and probably down now under 90 pounds, and It just broke my heart to see him there. And I wanted to go spend a little bit of time with him because they turned it to hospice now and just gave him just a few days. But, you know, we serve a God that's... What's 85 pounds to God? Amen. He can just do anything. You know, my mama used to tell me years ago, you know, she'd say, Darrell, as long as there's breath, there's hope. And one day I said, you know, mama, that's a good saying. But we serve a God that even when there is no breath, there's still hope. That's the kind of God that we serve, you know. And so we're grateful for that tonight. To know that even death doesn't deter God, you know. And we was in a meeting just the other day up in Pennsylvania, I believe is where it was at. And just at the preaching of the word, and just as we started preaching, I heard a noise, and I looked to the left, and a man just kind of fell back. It didn't look like a seizure. I've seen plenty of seizures in my time. It didn't look like an epileptic seizure. I'm not sure what happened to the man, but he was just making a strange noise, like a diaphragm noise. His eyes was rolled back in his head. He was just going, gloop, 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 like a noise like that. And his wife jumped up, you know, she said, help me. But it was just such a calmness come over the people. And so we just had a word of prayer and just sung a few courses of I Love Jesus. And a few minutes, the brother raised up. And I said, you okay, Brother Jack? And he said, let's go. So we went back to preach and just had a wonderful time in the Lord. He got up and sung a special the next night. Never went to the hospital. You know, that's just the kind of God that we serve, friends. Amen. He's certainly able. Amen. What was wrong with the man, I don't know. But you see, I didn't have to know. God did know. And so that's all that matters. Amen. So we simply commit it to God. So we just trust the Lord to visit us tonight in a great way. If you have your Bibles now in Psalms 119, verse 83, may the Lord richly bless you. The storm is past now, and I certainly hope you didn't wash your car today because it sure got a good washing out there just a minute ago. It was really, really raining, but it's passed on over now, and so it looks like it's clearing up, so we thank the Lord for that. Now, Psalms 119, 83, the Bible says this, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet I do not forget thy statutes." I want to speak to you tonight for a few minutes on like a bottle in the smoke. I really do. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love to be with you people, Lord. God, the world is so hard and calloused. There's so much wickedness, Lord. It's such an honor to be able to gather here just for a little bit of time, Lord, in a little haven of refuge and a body of believers, Lord, to feel your great presence, Lord, knowing, God, that your storm shelters are not made out of concrete or steel rebar, Lord, but it's made out of eagle's feathers, Lord. We're so glad that we can feel you, Lord, as you wrap your arms around us and draw us up so close to you that we can feel your heartbeat beating out Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we count it such an honor to be able to gather here tonight with your people, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you just come and take this simple little thought that you gave us, Lord, and may it open it, the understanding to it, Lord, that we may draw strength from your word, Lord, for the journey that lays ahead. And Father, there's many needs here, Lord, kidney stones, Lord, and arthritis, dear God, and high blood pressure and sugar diabetes, Lord, and all kinds of troubles, Lord, but none greater than you tonight, Father. So we just look to you, Lord, asking, dear God, that you would move upon these needs tonight, Lord. And Father, this handkerchief that's been given to me, Lord, to minister with tonight, Lord, you see this need. And I pray in the name of Jesus, when it's laid upon it, Lord, may that stone pass, dear God, by the rising of three suns for thy glory, we pray, Lord. And Lord, the other handkerchief that we have in our pocket tonight, you see the need, Lord, of down in South Carolina, Lord, just an urgent need. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, only you could turn that situation around. But Lord, we pray tonight, God, that may the Holy Spirit go to them, Lord. May they see the error of their way and repent, Father, and come back under your wings for the hours at hand. Bless you people tonight. Move among us in a great way that when we leave the building, may we say, did not our hearts burn within us? For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Thank you, buddy. Amen. Well, this is a rather unusual text, and I could tell by the way you was looking at me, you thought so also. But you know, God is unusual, and God's ways are unusual. And sometimes when God will move up on us in an unusual way because there's things that He wants to show us. And you say, well, you know, Brother Darrell, that's not much scripture that was read tonight, and that's true. But you see, God's Word is sufficient. Amen. Amen. If it's just one Word of God, it's sufficient. That's all that we need. Do you realize tonight that we're standing here upon earth and realizing that earth was created by one Word of God? God said, let there be earth, and there was. And we see that we are sitting now upon the manifestation of just one Word of God. And so we don't need, you know, well, if we had 20 scriptures, we could have church. No, I tell you tonight, if we just had one Word of God, we could have church. Because if that one Word was revealed to us, in that one Word, there's enough for salvation. There's enough for healing. There's enough for joy. Come on, somebody. There's enough to receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Because God's Word is eternal. Amen. And if we just have one Word of God, that is an eternal element of God's expression. And it'll do. God's Word will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish that which it's set to do. So just one word from God tonight can change the situation there just miraculously. Just one word. One word is sufficient. Because why? Because God's Word cannot fail. Then we realize tonight, if we are a part of God's Word, we cannot fail either. Now, in the scripture that we read tonight, the Bible says this, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Now, to get an understanding of this context of the scripture, you need to understand the concept of what's being relayed to the reader tonight. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. This bottle is not this kind of bottle that he's referring to. But it's a wineskin bottle. It's a bottle that was made out of goat skins. Now, these goat skin bottles was used for water. Of course, being wine, they was used for wine skins. And these bottles sometimes were kept in tents or in poor dwelling places where they didn't have adequate chimneys and stuff like that. And so these bottles were precious to them. And because of the poor, you know, when they would empty out the wine or they would empty out the water, and they wanted the bottle to be protected. So they didn't leave it just laying around for somebody to step on it or somebody to sit on it. So when these bottles were emptied out, they would hang them up around the tent. Or they would hang them up in the rafters, if you will, of the tent, because they didn't have no chimney, but they just had an opening in the top of their dwelling place. And then when they built a fire, the heat and the smoke would rise up. So when these bottles was hung along the walls of the tent, and as they built the fire to stay warm and the smoke and the heat began to go up, it began to affect these bottles. They would begin to come black, and they would begin to be sooty, and they would begin to dry out, and they would shrivel up, and they would be deformed. And David, the psalmist that he was, having seen these bottles. Yeah. When David found himself in a condition in the midst of his trials, he remembered what those bottles looked like. And he used this as an analogy or a means of expression of what he was feeling, because David was so good at writing his feelings in words. And David was trying to relay what he was feeling. And he began to think, how can I put this into words? How can I let people know how I'm feeling? And he began to remember these bottles. And David said, though I be like a bottle in the smoke. Yeah. Amen. I have become, he said, by my trouble and by my affliction and by my trial and by my persecution and by my sickness, I have become like a bottle in the smoke. But in the midst of all my troubles, David said, no matter how bad the trouble is, that it would be to such a state that I would feel like I'm a bottle in the smoke, just drying up, being deformed, withering away. Yet David said, in the midst of all my troubles, I will not forget thy statutes, O God. Oh, hallelujah. David said, no matter how bad the trouble is, I will not forget my God. Amen. Now, when I began to study this, I saw three things that just jumped out at me. First of all, which you're not going to like this one, but it's a good one. The first thing that I seen was, is God's people have trials. Period. Well, maybe if I live good enough, no. The more loyal, the more testing. So God's people have trials. But you see how the devil twists it around. A lot of times he'll make you think because you're having trouble, God don't love you. But in reality, one of the evidences that God does love you is he's got confidence enough in you to give you a trial. Amen. God ain't in business of trying the devil's children, but he will try his own. Yeah. Amen. So God's people have trials. God's people are put through the smoke. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 3:3 that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourself, know you're appointed thereunto. Paul said, you know it yourself. I'm not telling you something new. I'm not telling you something strange. Everybody in this building knows Christians have trials. You might as well just say amen to it. We are going to have trials. We are going to have tests. We are going to have trouble. It is the Christian way. If you serve God or you gave your heart to the Lord because you thought you was going to get a Cadillac and a new house, you're in the wrong religion. God's people have trials. Paul said, you know yourself you're going to have them. But Paul said, do not be moved. Now that word moved means to be disturbed or be troubled. Paul said, don't get upset. Don't get disturbed. Don't get troubled. Because you are going to have them. They are going to come. Amen. So that's just a given fact. God's people are put through the smoke. Look at Job. Look what Job experienced. But all the time, the whole time, God was bragging on him. God told the devil, he'll not give in. Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him. Amen. He had confidence in him. Amen. So God's people are going to have trials. They're going to be put through the smoke. You're going to have them. They're going to come. The second thing when I got to reading this that just kind of jumped out at me was that God's people feel their trials. Sometimes the pain is so hard. Sometimes the hurt is so deep. Sometimes the burden is so heavy. That you become like a bottle in the smoke. Sometimes what God will allow to come upon you will so wither you away that you feel like you can hardly put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes the pain, the loss of a loved one, a sickness that will not let go just lingers and lingers and lingers. And you pray and you pray and you pray and it never lets up. Sometimes the trial is great. Sometimes the burden is so heavy. Sometimes the hurt, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a husband, the loss of a child. Sometimes it's so great that we feel like a bottle in the smoke. Christians feel their troubles. I want you to understand tonight that a trial that we do not feel is no trial at all. Huh? Trials which are not felt. I know you don't like us too good, but it's just trials which are not felt are unprofitable trials. If you have a trial that don't even make you pray, you're not going to get much out of that trial. Come on, somebody. Huh? Amen. Trials which are not felt are unprofitable trials. That's why we don't get to choose our trials. Because if we got to choose our trials, we would all take the one that you don't feel. I would. If God gave me a choice, I'd take the broken fingernail on the little finger. But you see, God don't do that. God don't say, all right, who wants cancer? Who over here wants cancer? Who over here wants to lose their loved one? He don't do that. But God knows what we need. God knows how to give us what we need. But a trial that God gives us is a profitable trial because there's something that He wants us to get out of that. Because God is not the author of confusion. Huh? That's why God don't ask us, because none of us wants to go through a trial. I don't like trials. Do you? I don't like sickness. I don't like back pain. Hello? I don't like sciatic nerve pain. I don't like it at all. But God never asked me. It just happens. And God says, all right, let's see how you're going to handle this. Let's see how you're going to do this. Let's see what you're going to do about this. Let's see how you're going to react when somebody talks bad about you. Let's see how mature you really are. Amen. You claim to be such a mature Christian. We'll just see. And God allows someone just to rip your name up just to see. how mature you really are. So God don't let us choose. We don't have, there's not a sign-up list. All right? Who wants this on Monday and who wants... God don't do that. God just simply in His wisdom gives us what we have need of. And I ask you tonight, who knows better, us or Him? No question. God knows. He knows. He knew our name before we was ever born. He knew the color of my eyes before I was ever born. Oh my, surely I can trust that kind of God. That sometimes when I think I know what I need, in reality, I don't need that at all. I need this. But I'm so glad Daddy knows what I need. Daddy knows how to give it, and Daddy knows when to bring it, and He knows when to take it off. Come on, somebody. He knows when to crank it up, and He knows when to back the valve off. He knows exactly what we can take. How does He know so much? Because He created us. Amen. The Lord God Almighty says, I know. There He is walking in the midst of His people. There He is the chief shepherd of the flock. But does He hold back persecution? Does He stem tribulation? No, He does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. Amen. You say, God, I'm having such a hard time. God says, I know. I know you are. Amen. I've watched you. I've been watching you. My eyes on the sparrow, and I'm watching you too. God says, I know. I know your trial. I know your tribulation. I know what you're going through. I'm not at all unmindful of your suffering. Amen. Remember when Moses was at the burning bush? He said, why have you not heard the cry of your people? Why have you not come down to deliver them? What did God tell Moses? I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry, and I have come down. God said, I've seen, I've heard. I'm not at all unmindful. I know exactly. Oh, it's so good tonight to know wherever we are at tonight, wherever you are sitting in this service tonight, God knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through with. And He goes, hallelujah. He knows the exact outcome. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm not at all unmindful of your suffering. What a stumbling block that is to so many people. Like Israel, they wondered if God really loves them. How can God be just and loving if He stands by and watches His people suffer? Now, people say that all the time. How can God be a loving God if He allows these things to happen? But who are we to question God? How can He be if He just watches His people suffer? That's what they ask in Malachi 1. The burden of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet we say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. Yeah. And I laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, they could not figure out God's love. They thought that love meant no suffering. They thought that love meant baby with parental care. But you see, that's not the way God does it to us. Amen. God don't want a bunch of spoiled brats. Amen. Amen. God don't love us like a parental love. We got to get that out of our mind. God don't love us that way. His love is different, yet He is our Father. But we get in our mind, well, if I love my kids, they'll not suffer. If I love my kids, I'll never say no. No, if you love them, sometimes you do say no. And if they love you, your no is good as your yes. Yes, sir. That's for the young people. They're supposed to amen it right there. Amen. Is that all right? Yes, sir. How can God be just and loving if He watches the sun? Said, I've loved you, saith the Lord. They thought love meant no suffering. They thought love meant baby with parental care. But God said His love was elective love. The proof of His love is election. Yes, that no matter what happened, He loved us was proven truly by the fact that we were chosen. We were chosen unto salvation because God hath chosen you to salvation. Amen. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He may commit you to death as He did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as He did Job. That is His prerogative. He is sovereign, but with it all, it is a purpose. Don't you understand? If we're God's children, death can't bother us. Trials can't bother us. Come on, friends. If we're God's property, if they take our life, we'll rise again. If we belong to God, God's eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life. That's God. If you've got eternal life, you're a part of God. You've got to be, and you can no more die than God can die. They commit this body, but they'll never destroy the soul. They can't stop that soul. It's his prerogative, his sovereign, but all with a purpose. If he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is after we've suffered a while, that we should be made perfect. Yeah. Be established, strengthened, and settled. Yeah. Don't you see, friends, running the aisles is not what settles us. Dancing in the spirit, though I love to do it, that's not what matures us. It's trials and testings of life. That's what settles us. That's what strengthens us. That's what matures us. A seasoned veteran is one who's been through the battle. Amen. Do you love to shout? Absolutely. You like to swing for chandeliers? I'd swing every service if I could. But that's not what matures me. That's not what perfects me. It's this. Amen. Think of it, friends. If you don't have a purpose, he'd be the author of frustration, not a peace. His purpose is after we suffer a while, we would be made perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. And Job said he put strength in us, you see. He himself suffered. He put strength in us. How does God strengthen us? By our trials, by our tests. Sometimes it's a light trial, just like when you start out lifting weights. Nobody starts out lifting 1,000 pounds. You'll start out with 5, then 10, then 20, 30, 50, 100. You keep building yourself up. As the resistance gets greater, the muscle gets greater. That's the way God does us with trials. Sometimes he'll give a little trial, then a greater trial, then a greater trial. What's he doing? He's strengthening us. He's putting strength in us. How? By the trials that we suffer. It puts muscles. What kind of muscles? Faith muscles. Amen. I had a headache. God healed me. I had a toothache. God healed me. I had cancer. God healed me. Greater and greater and greater. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. Amen. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He was actually made perfect. Jesus himself was made perfect by the things he suffered. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. See, character is not given. People wants character, but you can't buy character at Walmart. Character's earned. By the things that you suffer molds your character. Sometimes you see young preachers, which I'm not kicking against it, but just sometimes young preachers, because they're a preacher, they demand respect. But you see, respect has to be earned. Come on, it has to be earned. If respect is given and it's not earned, it don't mean nothing. If character is given and it's not earned, it don't mean nothing. But what makes our character what it is because we've been there in the trial. We've been there in the fire. We've been like a bottle in the smoke. Yet we did not forget God's statutes. He put in us a character to make us fit to reign. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. While suffering for him, we would come to a place of perfection. By suffering for him, we would come to a place of perfection. What perfects us? Our suffering. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. James 1, 2 through 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. You see, trials and tests of life, it takes that spoiled brat attitude out of you. Well, you have to have everything instantly, or you get mad. But sometimes God will leave you on the back burner a long time till you learn patience. Day in and day out in a hospital room, day in and day out, 57, 59, 61, 63, 67 days, 68 days, 24/7, waiting on him to come by. But when he does, it's so sweet. When he does, he takes blinded eyes with him. When he does, he takes paralysis with him. That's just the way he does it. Amen. And the third thing, when I got to look at this, the third thing that I saw that just blessed me, which is what I want to look at tonight for a few minutes, is that God's people do not forget God's statutes in the times of their trials. I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. David is saying by his affliction, or his sorrow and his affliction and his trials, David said, I have been reduced to a state that would well be represented by such a bottle. I have, through my trials and through my persecution and through my testing, David said, I have been reduced to like a bottle in the smoke. I feel like I'm withering away. I feel like I'm being deformed. I feel like I'm drying up. I feel like I'm cracking. Every ounce of moisture is leaving my body. David found himself like that. David said, I have been reduced to such a place that I'm just like that bottle. Now, why would David refer to himself that way? David was expressing what he was feeling. His trial was real. His test was real. It was hard. His tribulation was great. It was great. David was trying to get you to see. He was trying to get you to understand. This was no broken fingernail. This was the hardest trial of my life. This is the hardest time of my life. This is real. This is this. I'm not playing. This ain't play, church. This is real. It's a real battle. But David is saying, I want you to understand that trial is real. That burden is real. But my commitment to God is just as real. Amen. Hallelujah. David said, I don't care how bad the trial is, I will not forget my God. Amen. He was in a tremendous crisis, but David was referring to himself that way. David was wanting you to understand, I still care. I still care what God thinks about me. I still care about my walk with God. I still care about the integrity of my walk with God. I still care about my position in God's economy. So David still cared. It showed his trial. His test was not taking its toll. It showed that David was not giving up. David said, I may be like a bottle in the smoke. I may be dried. I may be cracked up. Every ounce of moisture is being poured out of me, David said. I'm withering away. But I have not forgot God's statutes. Amen. I have kept the faith. Just like Paul said.
That's right.
Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, I have fought a good fight.
Yeah.
I have finished my course. I run every step. I ran every step. I finished a course. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I ran the course. I didn't give up. I remember one time when I was young, I used to run cross country when I was in the Army. I run for the 18th Airborne Brigade. And we was in a cross country meet one time against other brigades. There's like 700 runners, 800 and some runners in the race, something like that. And it was a 6.2 mile race, 10K race. And then over the Fort Bragg, I have hills, and you come down off those hills, and you would run through the sand. And I learned when I run those races like that, that a lot of people, it's natural when they run to the top of the hill. When they get to the top, it's just a natural instinct to relax. But what I always tried to do when I hit that top, I just broke over. I just kept running as hard as I could run. And you would gain a few positions every time you'd hit a big hill, and you would keep that pace and go across the top of that hill. Others would relax. They would pull back, and you would gain positions. And I remember this particular race, I just about gave everything that I had, and it was still just a little bit before the finish course, one last hill, and we come over the hill, come down into some real heavy Fort Bragg sand, just sink up to your ankle sand. Oh, it's so hard to run in. We run in combat boots, and so we was running in this race, and I got down to come down off that hill down into the sand pit. And what I would always do when I run, when the gun fired, I would always hold back way back into the pack. A lot of guys would take out and break out in front, but I never would do that. I would pull back because it gave me strength as the race progressed. And the race progressed, when people begin to tire and they begin to pull back, I begin to kick. And when I begin to kick, I begin to pass people. And the more people I pass, the more strength it gave me in my position. I kept gaining position. And so when I come over this last hill, a friend of mine named Wilkerson, he had been way ahead in the race, but he pulled his hamstring. And he was down there in that sand pit, and he couldn't run. And I come down into that sand, and I hit that sand. And it was so heavy, I could hardly pull my boots out. And it was just the last bit of the race, and all my energy was about gone. And I'll never forget, when I come through that sand, Wilkerson began to holler, run, Warren, run, run. The finish line is just ahead. You can do it. Don't quit, Lord. Don't quit. Don't quit. Oh, what courage that it gave me. And tonight I say to you, my brother, my sister, we're in the final lap of the race. Run with everything within you. Don't worry about the trials. Don't worry about the sand. Just run. Finish the course. Finish the course. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. You see, Paul was rejected. but he kept the faith. Paul was beaten, but he kept the faith. You know, I'm thinking Paul got 39 stripes three times. I've often wondered what his back looked like when he took his shirt off. I wonder when he took his shirt off, maybe to wash, what the scars on his back must have looked like. You saw, did he have scars? Paul said, I bury my body. The marks. Is that right? 39 stripes. That's what? 39 times 3. What's that? 112 something? 100 something? I'm not good at math. Hardest 3 years of my life was second grade. But he bore in his body the marks. Paul said, they beat me. They beat me three times. 39. 40 stripes minus one. 39 stripes. Three times. But I kept the faith. They threw me in prison. I was the church age messenger. I was the prophet to the age. And they threw me in prison. But I kept the faith. They took him out on a chop block. But he kept the faith. They took his head off. But he kept the faith. Oh God, let it be said of me. I kept the faith. My marriage might have failed, but I kept the faith. My wife got sick, but I kept the faith. My husband was taken from me, but I kept the faith. Let it be said to me, my business was in trouble, but I kept the faith in the darkest trial of my life. I never gave up. I never threw the towel in. I kept the faith. Though I be like a bottle in the smoke. Though I be like a bottle in the smoke. I will not forget thy statutes. The trial never overcame me. Though it blackened me. Though it dried me out. Though it withered me. Put great scars. Put great age on my body. It made my hair gray. It made my shoulders stoop. Brother J.D., I kept the faith.
That's good.
I did not give up. I did not walk away. I kept the faith. God, let it be said of me. I don't care if anybody ever knows I ever preached or not. I'm not interested in that. I don't care if anybody ever knows I ever been in another country. I don't care about none of that stuff. God knows it's the truth. It's one thing, Brother J.D., let it be said of me. He kept the faith. He ran the course. He finished the race. The trial never overcame me. I overcame the trial. Habakkuk, I guess it's how, I never could say that in the scriptures. Habakkuk. Thank you. 3:17 says this. Listen. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Listen what he says. Listen what he is saying. Everything I touch turned to dust. Everything, Brother Ron. Everything, Brother Wes, I tried to do was like sand through my hands. I planted, but I got no fruit. I bought cattle and they died in the drought. I put a fence and I couldn't get the electricity to work. I bought a car and the transmission fell out. Everything I touched fell at my feet. Listen to what he's saying. The fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock is cut off from the fold. There's no herds in the stalls. Yet he says, in the midst of all this, everything I touch falls apart. Yet he says, in the midst of all of it, I will rejoice in the Lord.
I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. Because if everything goes wrong, it will never deter who I am and where I come from and where I'm going and who I belong to. Hallelujah. The trials and tests of life will never take my sonship from me. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can you imagine what Satan will do? What's Satan going to do to the man that every time, Brother Reed, every time Satan punches you, you praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Devil said, I got to quit hitting on him. He's going to start shouting. But see, we kind of do the opposite sometimes, don't we? Come on now. Think of it, friends. Think of it. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice. Amen. Notice he didn't say that. And the song leader will make me rejoice. I said, I'll do it myself. Amen. Though all this is going on, he said, I will praise the Lord. I will not forget thy statutes. I am like a bottle in the smoke. You see, the Apostle Peter said it this way, that our trials are better than gold to us. Now, I got to thinking about that. You know, I looked up, you know, gold is $1,250 an ounce right now. $1,250, maybe a little bit less now. I looked at it last night when I was studying this a little bit. $1,250 an ounce. And I've got to thinking, if the boys come in this afternoon and fill this whole side of the church with gold, pure gold, big bars, and they filled it all afternoon, Brother Jim and the brothers in the library, plop gold in here and gold in here. Wheelbarrows just dumped it and dumped it and dumped it. And it come here and you had to set all the way back to the back because all this whole side of the church was full of gold at $1,250 an ounce. Thousands upon thousands and thousands of pounds of gold. And you were given a choice tonight. Do you want a trial? Now see, determine your understanding, Brother Larry, based on how you understand what God wants to do in your life. Laodicea, a man anointed under Laodicea, would say, boys, help me pack this gold out here, will you? But if you understand what God wants to do in your life, if you truly understand what trials will do for you, a man that has an understanding, a man that has a revelation, a man that grabs the concept of what God wants to do in our life through trials would take the trial over the gold. Because Peter said that the trying of our faith is more precious to us than gold. If you understand it right, you'll take the trial because that trial's more precious to you. Because in Corinthians it says, our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. The trials that we face in life outweighs the gold by glory. Amen. Though it may seem like a long time for us, but in God's eyes, he says, it's just a moment. I'm going to put you through this for just a moment. But the glory that you'll reap from this will far outweigh the trial. It'll be more precious to you, the character that's molded by that trial. Because you see, here's the thing. That gold may be worth $1,250 an ounce today, but it may be worth $8 tomorrow. By the Monday, next Monday, it may be $4. By next Wednesday, the market could crash. And it wouldn't be worth hauling out of the church by next weekend. But that trial, that eternal weight and glory that you got from that trial, you'll be reaping that throughout eternity. Amen. Think of that, friends. The benefit of that trial will mold something in us of eternal value. Because you see, we're living in an hour when people are boasters. This age is a boastful age. That's why when they pull up in a red light in a sports car, they rev the engine. They're boasting. But you know what a boaster is? He's an empty pretender. He really has nothing on the inside to back it up. Come on, somebody. That's the truth. Amen. This age boasts of worldly goods. It boasts of rich. What do they say? They say in Revelation, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But God said, do you not know? You are blind. You are wretched. You are naked. You are poor. And you don't even know it. They boast, but they got nothing of eternal substance to back up their boast. Hallelujah. Amen. Think of it, friends. God might let you get sick in order that you might be a testimony. That He might heal you. That you can stand on His word. And when you reach the opposition, you can say, I know I am a witness beyond any shadow of a doubt. A witness. Now, I've talked to some of these people that don't believe God heals no more. Oh, they'll argue till they're blue in the face. But you know, I don't argue with them. Because I know God heals. I know God opens blinded eyes. I see it every day of my life. Every day I see Jessica get a bowl out of the cabinet and pour cereal in the bowl. I know God opens blinded eyes. They come too late to tell me that. They may not believe it. That's their choice. That's their privilege. But as for me and my house, I do believe it. I am a witness to it. I have seen it. I have experienced it. I've seen them get up out of a wheelchair. Amen. I've seen it. I am a witness to it. I've experienced it. I know. I don't care who doubts it. I don't care if Obama and his mama doubts it. I know. A witness is somebody that's really done something. It's somebody that's been there. It's somebody that's been somewhere. I've been there. I've been in the desert. I've been in the dry time. I've seen God bring water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am like a bottle in the smoke. Yet I will not forget thy statutes. You see, the worst circumstance cannot destroy the true believer's hold upon his God. Because you see, the mystery is this. This is the mystery. The worst circumstance that a believer will ever face is not strong enough to break the hold. And the reason is, this is the mystery of it. The truth of the matter is, it's not even you holding. It's Him holding you. Ain't you glad Daddy's got a hold of your hand tonight? Hallelujah! I would have let go a long time ago, just like you. But it's not me holding Him. It's Him holding me. It's God's grace. Grace is a living power which survives that which suffocates all other forms of existence. Fire cannot consume grace. Smoke cannot smother grace. A man may be reduced to skin and bones, and all his comfort may be dried out of him. Yet he may hold fast to the integrity and glorify his God. Amen. The eyes which are tormented with smoke, the heart that is faint from the heat of weariness. And a man in that state will cry out to his God. You see, sometimes we don't cry like we should when everything's going good. But when you're in this kind of a trial, God knows how to make you cry. God knows how to make you pray. You get a little slack in your prayer life, God knows how to put you back on your knees. Jonah 2:2 says this, I cried by reason of my affliction. What made Jonah cry to God? His trial. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and Thou heardest my voice. Don't you see, my brother, my sister, the very trial that God brings on us will cause us to cry out to Him so that He can come and deliver us and show us just how big He is. Think of it. But you see, let us not forget. Let us not forget like Israel did when they come to their trials. When Israel came to their trials, they forgot the blessings of God. After all God did for them, passing them through the Red Sea, turning Pharaoh's heart over to them, getting all his gold, after everything God did for them. And then God said, go spy out the land that I've already given you. And when they came back, notice how quick they forgot the miracles. Notice, out of the same congregation, follow the same prophet with the same pillar of fire, out of the same group, 12 men from the same church went to spy out the land that God already gave them by promise. And when they came back, you know the story. When they came back, 10 of them said, we cannot do it. Notice how fast they forgot. Surely to goodness, if God can split the Red Sea, God can take care of a few giants. Surely to goodness, if God can take bitter water and make it sweet, surely God can cause walls to fall down. Hello? If God can heal a toothache, He can heal cancer. If God can heal cancer, He can heal arthritis. If God can restore an arm, He can restore a marriage. How soon? We forget. But let's not do that. Huh? How quick they forgot the miracles. Just like the people do in this day when the trials come on. Huh? You watch people have a little experience with the Lord and they're so on fire for God. And then the first little trial, they sit further back.
Preach, brother.
How soon we forget. They went and searched out the land that God gave them. It's a good land, flowing with milk and honey. And they come back packing grapes, all they could carry. I said, my God, did you bring back the whole vineyard? Whole vineyard, that's just one bunch. That's how great it was. It's exactly the way God said. And they even testified, it's exactly what God said. Amen. And Caleb was in the background going, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And they said, but nonetheless, we saw long necks there. Yeah. We saw the long necks there. And Caleb was going, long necks, glory to God, long necks, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the long necks.
Amen.
What's wrong with Caleb? Why is he so rejoicing? Long necks. You know what that means? You can't miss. A big long neck, just one swing. One swing, you can take their head off. Caleb said, they got a long neck. We got a big target, boys. Might be something else if their necks was like that. You know. Because, oh God, long necks, hallelujah. Ain't it something how one man saw a long neck and how the other man saw the same neck? Ain't it something how some people can see one trial and somebody else look at the same trial and see something entirely different? And they were wailing and they was carrying on. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Caleb said, I tell you, all this murmuring and complaining, I feel just like a bottle in the smoke. But I tell you right now, I have not forgot God's promises. It's my land. God gave it to me. But the men that went up with him said, would be not able to go up. And they brought back an evil report. And the Bible said the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night.
That's right.
Ain't it something, friends? Ain't it something that 10 people come back? There was millions camped out there. Millions camped out there. And in one night's time, their negative report swept the entire congregation.
That's right.
If negative report could do that, how about a good praise report?
Amen.
Huh? How about a good praise report? How it ought to sweep through the congregation. God healed me of cancer. God restored my marriage. God took care of that sugar diabetes. God let me pass that kidney stone. Amen. Let a good report. If God does something to you, you ought to testify of it.
Amen.
Bible said they were wailing and they were crying. All through that night. Woo-hoo. We want it. We stay back there. We want to think about what. And every time they catch the breath, they hear, shh. And then they start wailing a little bit more. Oh, I can't believe it. And Brother Jewel said, woe is he, me. Nobody loves me. Nobody shakes my hand at church. Nobody cares. Whoa. And every time they catch their breath, they shh. Finally said, what is going on? We're trying to wail and cry around here. We're trying to be sorrowful around here. What is going on? So they go over to Caleb's tent and they peek in. You know what they're doing? Caleb's sharpening his sword. Singing a little long neck song. Caleb said, I may be like a ball in the smoke, a bunch of these unbelievers around here, but I will not forget God's statues. Oh God, let me be like David in the time of my trouble. Let me not forget God's statues. Though I be like a bottle in the smoke, yet I will not forget thy statues. God's word is true. Why does God let trouble come? God harnesses trouble. He puts bits in its mouth. Like you would put bits in the mouth of a horse, God puts bits in the mouth of trouble and rides it right down through the middle of the church. Because God is not afraid of trouble. Trouble obeys God. Like a good horse obeys his master. You see, there had been no rainbow till after the flood came. But it was after Noah was pressed into that condition that he was in. 40 days and nights in the storm. It was after that great trial, after that great storm and the ark pitching and driving and going through the water. It was after the flood was over that Noah saw the rainbow, the covenant of promise, for the first time. He would have never saw the rainbow if there had been no rain. And that's the way you see the promise, friends. That's the way you see it. See means to understand. That's the way you understand. Is after you've gone through the tribulation, you see the rainbow of promise. Must I be carried home on a flowery bed of ease, while my brothers and sisters fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? You see, we ask God for peace and comfort. That's what Laodicea is, the age of comfort. Everybody wants peace, but there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. We ask for peace and comfort, but God gives us the best thing He can give us. That's trials and tribulations. That's better than peace and comfort. For our comfort is just beyond the river. That's when I'm going to lay it down, Brother Terry. I'll lay it down one day. When I come down to the river, Brother Gene ain't going to study war no more. I ain't going to get in the car one more time. I ain't going to make one more trip. I'm going to lay down my sword. I'm going to lay down my shield when I get to the other side. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us. The trials brought upon us are more precious than gold. After we become His property, our confession and our baptism and our promise to serve Him, then every trial that comes upon us is to perfect us for His glory. To bring us to a place where God can make Himself more real to us than He was before the trial came. Because I want you to understand, God wants to be real to you. Every time a great situation arises that you can't get around or under or over it, and God makes a way and it comes out glorious. You wonder, how does His grace ever do it? Yet God does it. You know why God does it? He shows you how much He loves you. Notice at the Red Sea, God gave them the land. God said, I've already given you the land. It's your land. Now, why didn't Brother Terry, when they come out of Egypt, why didn't God just pick them up and set them over in the promised land? It was already theirs. God had done gave it to them by promise. God don't go back on His word. God don't lie. God had done gave them the land by promise. Well, why didn't He just pick them up and set them over there? But notice, the first thing they run into was opposition from Pharaoh. I don't let you go. I don't know you. I don't know your God. And by the way, you come in here carrying on, smart aleck. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to make more brick than you've ever made in your life, but this time without straw.
Yeah, that's right.
Got time to think about deliverance of the desert God? I'll give you something to think about. And then notice, after all that, then God, look what God done. He showed them just how great He was. And when they left, He said, go, take the horse, take Spot, take everything. Take your oatmeal, take that extra shirt, don't leave nothing behind. Get out of here! Here, take the gold, take the silver, take anything you need. Take the lotus, just go. Just go! So here they go rejoicing, praising God. Where does God bring them to? Right to the Red Sea.
Amen. That's good.
And they looked, and here come Pharaoh behind them. And they begin to cry out to God. What did God do? He caused the wind, and the wind parted the sea. And it dried up the ground just enough for them to walk on. But not enough for the chariot wheels. So when the chariot wheels went in, they sunk up in mud and they got stuck. Then guess what? The wall gave way and they drowned it. And God drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. And they rejoiced again. But then where did they go from there? 3 days through the desert. They come up on water. Water, glory to God. 3 days without water. 3 days, not a drop of water. Finally, they found a river. They run and they fell into it. You know what? It was bitter. They couldn't even drink it. The kids crying, Mama, let me have water. You can't have it, honey. You can't. It's bitter. It'll make you sick. You can't drink it. But what did God do? He told Moses to cut down this tree and throw it into the water. What did it do? It made the water sweet. Notice what God was doing. Stage after stage. Why was He? He could have just picked them up and set them over there. But look at their trial. Trial after trial after trial after trial. But what was God showing them? Here's what God was showing them. I love you enough to make Pharaoh give you all his gold. I love you enough to part the sea for you. I love you enough to take bitter water and make it sweet. That's how much I love you. He allows these things to come in our life. Then He comes as our hero just to show us how much He loves us. But you see, Satan tries to make us nervous. He tries to make us upset. He tries to get us to think just the opposite. God don't love me. I wouldn't be going through this. No, that's the best evidence He does love you. But you see, here's the bottom line. God's got it all in control. Now let's look at one more. We'll close. Let's just look at this right here. We'll close. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had been out fighting the Philistines. And they was coming in from the battle. And they was coming back to the city of Ziklag. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you want to read it sometime. And I could just see these guys riding back in. And you know how it is when you're going home, there's just nothing like that feeling of going home. I don't care how tired you are, you just get happy when you know, I can hardly sleep the night before when it's time for me to go home. Sometimes I just get an early flight out because I can't sleep anyway because I'm just so anxious to come home. So these guys was riding back into the town. I can just hear them talk. Boy, I tell you right now, I can't wait to get home. Man, my wife makes the best apple pie. Not one amen. Mercy. She makes the best apple pie. My kids going to be out there. They're going to be waving. No doubt Susie's made me a little poster to welcome me home. The dog's out there wagging. Oh, it's going to be great, man. We've been gone for so long. We can't wait to get home. But when they broke up over the hill of Ziklag and looked down into the city, the Bible said the whole city had been consumed by fire. Everything was burnt. No Susie, no Johnny, no apple pie, no Spot. It was all gone. The Amalekites had come in and took the whole city captive. All their laughing, all their joy, all their jokes that they were telling, all their high fives and knuckle shakes and all that they were doing. But when they topped that hill and they saw the city was burnt and all they could hear was the wind blowing through the buildings, all their laughter, all their joy turned to tears. In fact, the Bible says that David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, friends, these were battle-hardened warriors. They could take a sword and cut a man's head off with one. They'd been in battle. They'd heard the cry of soldiers dying in battle, crying for their mama. They'd seen that. They'd witnessed that. They were battle-hardened warriors. They'd seen plenty of people. They'd seen plenty of blood. They'd seen arms cut off, heads cut off, legs cut off, guts disembodied. They'd seen the most horrible acts of war you could imagine. They were rugged. They were calloused. But when this happened to them, It so overcame them that the Bible said they wept until they had no more energy to weep. And the Bible says in verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now I want you to notice, these were the men that were loyal to David. These were the same men that drove the sword and fought through 15 miles to bring David a drink of water. These were the men who had done great feats. David killed one giant. His men killed the rest of Goliath's brothers. That's right. David only killed one. David's men killed the other four. That's right. Look it up and see. You'll find that to be the truth. They were warriors. They were loyal to David. David, you're going to be king. We saw you anointed king. You're king. You fight, we fight. Where you go, we'll go. What happens to you happens to us. We're in it all the way. We are one in the spirit. But when this trial came that was so great, it was so great, the Bible said they broke their loyalty. They picked up stones and began to think of stoning David. It's your fault, David. It's your fault. You out there trying to make a name for yourself. I followed you all over the country. If I'd have been here, they wouldn't have got my wife. They wouldn't have got my children. Yeah. It's your fault, David. Trying to make a name for yourself. Trying to be somebody. We should have been here defending this city. We should have been here defending our families. Not out chasing you around somewhere. They begin to grumble. They begin to complain. They picked up stones. Right. Now we know stones means confessions. And I wonder, friends, how many times in our sickness, in our problems, when something comes against us, that we don't pick up stones against our David. Jesus, why would you let this happen to me? I serve you. I pay my tithes. Why would you let this happen? We pick up our confessions against our David.
Think about it.
And the Bible says David was greatly distressed. Because after all, David knew what his men were capable of. Oh God. He knew what they were able to do. David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. Because the souls of all the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. You see, here's the problem. They let their trial. They let the trial get bigger than their God. Let me say that again. They let their trial. They let that sickness. They let that lawsuit. They let that business deal. What if they let that marriage problem? They let it get bigger than their God. So all they could see was the chaos. They couldn't see the end. But you see, God sees the end. No doubt David felt like a bottle in the smoke. No doubt he felt just like a bottle in the smoke. His own men that were loyal had turned against him. Everybody was against him. Yes, sir. But in the time of his testing, what did he do? He never ran. He never gave up. He never fell over a rock and threw sand on his head and said, why me? Why me? Why me? He never did none of that. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. For I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, David said, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Lord, what shall I do? What do you want me to do, Lord? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. And without fail, recover all. In the time of David's testing, he forgot not the statutes of God. And when he inquired of the word, he got a word answer. He got a word answer what to do. And David rose up from that rock he was on. David rose up and his men over there wailing, throwing sand, crying, laying on the ground. David said, boys, get up. Sharpen your swords. Wipe the tears off of your face. Mount up! Where are we going, David? Where are we going? David said, we're going to get them. We're going to go get our wives. We're going to go get our children. We're going to go get that apple pie before it gets cold. We're going to go get them. We're going to go get them. We're going to go get them. The Bible says that David, he smoked it from the twilight evening until the evening of the next day. Oh, God. David's wife said, I tell you right now, boys, you have messed up. You have messed up, because when David finds out, David will come for us. David will come. You better be careful what you say. You better be careful what you post on Facebook, because David is coming for us.
Amen. Amen.
Ah, hush up, woman. Hush up all that. We ain't got no time for that. We got David Goodmore. We got everything. It's that dust cloud out there anyway. That'd be David. Hallelujah. The Bible says that David recovered all. In the time of his testing, he forsook not God's commandments. He stayed with the Word. And when he stayed with the Word, God honored David. Resting in His hope. Resting in His hope. Amen. Though I feel like a bottle in the smoke. Brothers, come. Blackened. Dried out. Withered up. Almost wasted away. To sometimes I can hardly get one foot in front of the other. Anybody ever been there? Anybody had back pain that never lets up? 24/7. Constantly hurts. Anybody ever been like that? It's terrible, ain't it, Billy? Brother Gene, it's terrible. But yet, though I be like a bottle in the smoke, I feel like I withered away. I feel like I'm losing ground. Yet, I will rest in the God of my salvation. I will realize He's got it all in control. I will not be moved. I will remember who I am, where I come from, where I'm going. Though I be like a bottle in the smoke, I will overcome. I will prevail. Weeping may endure for the night, but the Bible says joy cometh in the morning. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Yes. You see, the trials and testings of life never takes away from the benefits of serving God. Amen. In the times of your trials, in the times of your test, do not forget the benefits of serving the Lord. After all, look what happened to David when he trusted God. If God done it for David, God can do it for you. You see, all our trials and testings of life is just to make us fit to reign. And little bride, when the trials are all over, we'll get out and walk around. It'll all belong to us. What a beautiful picture of the overcomer. For you see, the overcomer is heir of all things. Whatever your pain, there will always be sunshine after the rain. Perhaps you may stumble, perhaps even fall, but God's always ready to answer your call. He knows every heartache. He sees every tear. And from a word from His lips can calm every fear. Your sorrows may linger throughout the night, but Brother Keith, they suddenly vanish in dawn's early light. The Savior is waiting somewhere above to give you His grace, to show you His love. Whatever your cross, whatever your pain, God always sends rainbows after the rain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who can say that tonight? Though I be like a bottle in the smoke.
yet I will not forget thy statutes. Oh God, let that be our testimony tonight. Can we just stand and raise our hands? Let it be our testimony. Just raise your hands to the Lord tonight. Just, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Just speak it back to the Lord tonight. Say, though I be like a bottle in the smoke, yet I will not forget thy statutes, O God. I will not forget thy statutes, O God. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. The tears flow like a river, yet in Him they're sweet. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world.
One like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial.
Testimony,
who sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him,
hallelujah, amen.
There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing.
And oh, oh, sing about it.
One to come into this place. You see, every child of God, these tests we must face. It is here that God will mold you and make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Standing on the mountain, looking back, I can see when I was in my lowest valley, His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged, there's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. tears flow like a river. Yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. No need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though the tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. So I put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. So I know He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it. Got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it. Put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. Every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. Got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it. The sky, He holds the land back from the sea. If He can do all of that, surely He can take care of you and me. He's got it. Soul. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance down. soul. He's got it all in control.
Cover me when my faith is gone. let the peace that passes all I understand cover me. Cover me. Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand cover me. Cover me, peace of God, cover me, cover me, cover me, peace of God, please, Lord, through the storm. When I don't know what to do, cover me, please, peace of God. Let your joy, let your peace
cover me.
When I don't understand,
cover me,
your presence
just cover me,
peace of God,
cover me.
Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm of my life. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand cover me. Drive the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where I stand.
Y'all have that?
God bless you tonight.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Say it isn't me.
May the Lord go with you. Be my prayer.
The day will come when you will see, Jesus said, I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. He said, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mark my name. My love for you, you know, it will still be the same.
That's Christ.
Go ahead and try to bury me. Very soon, I'm coming up and I'll be free. He said, I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth ever gonna tie me down. Jesus said, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, say that old boy's dead and gone, but you will one day see that you were wrong. Go ahead,
oh, go ahead.
Try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one. Jesus said, I'll cry. Me to this old world, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. I'll come again. Mark my name, my love for you. God bless you, saints. Will still be the same. As you go, you have to sing this song. Go ahead. Try to bury me, but very soon I will be free. Jesus said, I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. He said, I'll rise again. That's what he said. Ain't no power on earth can tie, can hold, can prevent me from coming up. He said, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead. Drive the nails in my hand. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead. Say it isn't me. The day will come and you will see. He said, I'll rise.